Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The problem with modern day reading of scripture is that we forget that there were no chapters and verses when these were written, that letters were written in its entirety and were read in its entirety. So you would never receive a letter and say, well, I'll read a few paragraphs today, and then I'll wait till tomorrow and read the rest. You'd read it all in one sitting. So when we read bits and pieces of letters in the New Testament, we lose something. I want to read to you what came right before Kay read, "Let Mutual Love Continue," because they would have read this all together. And here's what it says. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Let mutual love continue. Now think about that. Our God is a consuming fire. And then we read this laundry list of stuff that we should be doing as Christians, and if we don't read about God being a consuming fire, it just seems to be nice things that we should do. Well, we should love each other. We should have a prison ministry. We should open our doors to strangers or strange people. We should be faithful to our husbands and wives. We should be content. It sounds all very nice, but we have to think of the people that this was written to, because those people were not like us today. It would be as if you would write this to somebody in Aleppo and say to the Syrians who are under siege all the time, you know, when a stranger comes to your door, let them in. Entertain them. It would be like saying to someone in North Korea who's been under political persecution, you know, you ought to go to the prisons, especially to your friends who were there, and identify with them. And hopefully, police won't follow you home and arrest you. It would be like saying to earthquake victims in Italy, you know, we know that you're in bad shape, but make sure that you provide food for anybody who needs it. When you listen to it this way, it has a very different feel to it. We American Christians have watered down the gospel so much that we think if we're nice, that's what Jesus talks about. Everybody be nice to each other. Now, I've often told my family that when I die, there had better not be an obituary that says, she was nice to everybody. She was such a nice person. Everybody liked her. I don't want to be regarded as nice. If my God is a consuming fire, then we as the Church of Jesus need to be passionate, because that fire is within us. And so when we read it this way, it changes everything. And I want to tell you a few stories about people who knew this passionate God, whose God was a consuming fire. One was from my own background. My grandparents lived through the Great Depression. And if you've read anything about the Great Depression, you know what a horrible time it was in American history. If any of you have read The Grapes of Wrath, you'll understand what that life was like. There were many men who left their families to look for work. And when they found no work, they had to go from place to place begging for food. They were called tramps or hobos. And they were denigrated. Now, some came to my grandparents' neighborhood, and my grandparents were poor immigrants. They had 8 children. All of the people in that neighborhood had a lot of kids and were poor and hungry themselves, and they had a terrible time making ends meet. And so these hobos would go from house to house hoping for some relief, some food, and they'd end up at my grandmother's house, and she would bring out food for them, and it would drive the family crazy. They'd say, "Mom, we hardly have enough for ourselves, and you're feeding this bum." And she'd say, "I'm a daughter of the heavenly king. I must do this." And you know, every one of her children were doctors and lawyers and professors, did so well. None of them went hungry. Our God is a consuming fire. And we are to practice radical hospitality. It's not enough just to give our excess. But God demands of us something more. He said that when you look at a prisoner, you are to feel with them as if you were in prison. Now, I've had the privilege of going to prison on the other side of the cage, not the prisoner's side. And I visited with one lady year after year, and she told me something that just made my heart sick. She said, "Dawn, every time you visit, when I leave you, I'm strip searched." And I couldn't imagine feeling that denigration year after year. What does that do to a person? The Bible said it's not enough to just have a ministry. We have to feel for them. Our God is a consuming fire. I thought of radical hospitality this last weekend when my nephew was married, and my sister was in charge of seating the family. Now, if any of you have planned weddings, you know what a minefield it is to seat people in a family, because not everybody gets along. And so you have to be very careful. Now, we had a privilege in that all five siblings, my siblings and myself, this was the first time we were seeing each other in 11 years. And you would think that we'd all sit together, but we didn't. My sister had a real problem on her hands because the boy's father, her ex-husband, was coming with a girlfriend to the wedding. Now, this ex-husband had been out of their lives since this boy was a year and a half old. He had gone summers to visit dad, and by the time he turned 18, he said, "Never again." So there wasn't a happy relationship here. He had driven my sister crazy. Every time she had to deal with him, it was not pleasant. And she had to seat this man. Our God is a consuming fire and requires radical hospitality. She sat him and his girlfriend next to her. And she arranged the table so that there'd be people there who would be kind and considerate to my brother-in-law and make him feel at home. That's beyond being nice. Radical hospitality means you love people even if you don't like them. And the other example I have seen of radical hospitality has come from the news reports that I see coming out of Aleppo. I saw a wonderful story where the adults around realized how traumatized the children have been through all this indiscriminate bombing. So they created an underground school so children could come underground and be safe and have some measure of normalcy within their lives. I also noticed the men with the white helmets. Have you seen that on TV? Men with white helmets who rush in when the bombs fall to rescue whoever they can rescue. And there was a poignant picture of a little girl clinging to a stranger. She didn't know this man, but she was clinging to him because her own parents had been killed in the bombing raid. And they asked, the interviewer said, "Aren't you afraid for yourself?" He said, "Of course I am. But I must go. Every time a bomb falls, I must go and rescue." And they've gone to their own fellow white helmet funerals because they've all, a lot of friends have been killed this way. That's radical hospitality. Our God is a consuming fire. He wants us to go beyond being nice and being passionate for the people we encounter. How will God's radical hospitality live out in our lives this week? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I am so grateful that the tie that binds us is not sentimentality, but it's the radical love of Jesus that came to us in the form of a servant, died for a lost and forsaken humanity, and lives within us today. I ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we leave this place to find those who are in need and to meet those needs with the passion that you give us and the fire that is inside of us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.